with meekness, he will convince the world of sin and of judgment and of justice. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm usually up at about 4:30 on Sunday morning, and as I'm making coffee, I often turn on the radio and listen to a bit of the BBC news on overnight. At that hour, they have a religion news show, which is sometimes of interest. I was fascinated last week. The little trailer, to get your attention, the headline, was a threefold denunciation of Islam. Some Germans who had just left that false religion held a press conference, and they said something to the effect of, three times in a row, it's an awful religion, an awful religion, an awful religion. I thought to myself, well, now that's not very ecumenical. You don't generally hear that on the radio. But then I thought of this later. I was expecting the other shoe to drop, for them to say, well, now they're going to become Catholics. They're going to be baptized. But no such note. They were just leaving Islam, and probably that was the point, a sort of a general attack on the nature of religion. But people, you know, don't easily leave Islam. They say it is almost impossible to convert a Muslim. I read this past week, though, one happy story of a Muslim who was converted. And at the time of his baptism, he was asked what led him to the church. What did he find lacking in the religion of Muhammad? His response gave me a lot to think about, too. Islam, he said, is full of the mercy of Allah. One wouldn't think of their religion today as especially merciful. When their leaders issue a fatwa for somebody to be killed, they always do start out by saying, in the name of Allah, the All-Merciful. But this convert explained that when he fell into sin and he knew that he had offended God's justice and broken his law, he realized he had no way to deal with God's justice. Islam had no answer for that. Neither does Protestantism, really. That is to say, Christianity alone gives us the death of Christ on the cross and forgiveness, which applies the price of Christ's death, his precious blood, to our souls here and now by satisfaction. Remember that Islam is an ancient heresy against Christianity, kind of an early ecumenical amalgam of Judaism, Christianity, and paganism. It has this in common with Protestantism. That big question remains, how to deal with God's justice when one falls into personal sin. We've been talking a long time now about the mercy of God, but today's Mass introduces the Holy Ghost. And after all these considerations of mercy and of meekness, St. James writes about that in the Epistle and the Sacred Heart, the Holy Ghost, who is the actual love between God the Father and God the Son, is introduced by our Lord in the Gospel at the Last Supper. And how is he introduced? As the one who will come to judge this world and to find it guilty, the matter of sin and of justice. However can we justify, however can we understand these two seemingly contradictory aspects of Almighty God? The idea is that the Comforter, the Paraclete, is coming first to this world in order to prove the world wrong. That's what our Lord is saying. In other words, to throw their sin in its face. What sin is that? It is the sin of the Jews who refused Christ's teaching. Faith is the first step to justification, towards getting right with God. And no other sin can be forgiven unless first we believe. Whereas for those who do have the faith, the other sins of human weakness are easily forgiven. This seeming contradiction between mercy and justice in God is often expressed in our human way by speaking of now is the time for mercy, but later at your death will come judgment. Or that in the Old Testament, God is shown as the just judge, whereas in the New, as the merciful Savior. And yet, the Old Testament contains some of the most beautiful passages in which God compares his love tender to that of a mother. And the New Testament, more than once, sees our Lord paint himself as the severe and exacting judge. And still it is he who says, "Learn of me, I am meek and humble of heart." What are we to make of this seeming contradiction? How to understand it? First of all, as usual, let's refresh our terms, our definitions. We human beings have anger, and because of that, Almighty God gives us two virtues. Thomas Aquinas, in his delightful way, calls them the daughters of charity, family virtues. First is meekness, and then is mercy. Meekness works on the inside of a man's soul, in his heart, in order to mitigate or make mild our response when we're provoked to anger. And mercy moderates the judgment or the punishment that we might give under those same circumstances. This kind of mercy we call clemency. Last week we besought our Lord's clemency through the intercession of Saint Joseph. Men have passions. We have anger because of our self-love, which is sometimes way out of bounds. We men, with our anger and our limited vision, tend to sort of divide people, especially people with responsibility, leaders or judges, priests, I imagine, too, and preachers, between those who are the meek or the merciful and those who are severe. Severity is the inflexible application of a just penalty. It is just, and it will be done regardless. But in Almighty God, there is no anger. There are no passions. He has no need of virtue as we have it. Remember, virtue keeps us from going to an extreme, having too much of one thing or not enough of another. We can say that in the simplicity of God, his very justice is his mercy. When we say that he is both meek and just, we mean that God is never, as we are, disturbed by anger. He always applies the just measure to all things. For example, on Good Friday, it was just that Dismas the good thief should be saved. It was just that Judas should be condemned to hell. He has in his hands all of the elements properly to judge us: our Lord's intellect, his will, are always perfectly right. Now, within the framework of this, with this idea in mind, because of our human weakness, and because of God's immense kindness, He, to help us, shows us sometimes the effect of one of His virtues more and other times less. For example, during our life, He manifests His patience, His mercy, His goodness. But at the moment of our death, He will manifest His severity and His justice and His judgment. But in eternity, they are all the same, and there's no difference. What a meditation that could be for us, who are quite different. If it is hard for us to understand, it's a bit like juggling all of these oranges at the same time and keeping them up in the air, it is far harder for us to apply any of these virtues in our own lives. When there is a doubt, and there often is, we must always go towards mercy as a general rule. We have to consider circumstances, human weakness, lack of malice, ignorance so often has a part to play. There are those who must judge. Parents, or employers, those who have authority, priests too. I can't imagine, though, anyone, did you ever think of this? Anyone who actually wanted to get into judging somebody or some situation when he didn't, strictly speaking, need to. Why on earth would you borrow trouble? Don't you have enough of your own? Sometimes one must smile to consider the case in the church of the young who perhaps recently have come from the Novus Ordo back to the true Catholic faith, or recently moved into a certain locale, and then after just a short while, they've got all of the answers and all of the judgments and all of the justice. And yet, how can even those who have the grace from God to judge carry these things out properly? Who else would want to be involved in these serious matters? Truly, St. James advises us, be quick to hear, be slow to speak, be slow to anger. This is the path of meekness. The individual Christian, after all, is not called upon to judge. That's not in his portfolio or job description. And he can't, none of us can, judge the interior of a man's heart to know if he has sinned or not. We should be grateful that is not our responsibility. For us, sometimes we must make a temporary or a passing judgment if we are in authority or are obliged to do so. But the final judgment will come from God, God who alone can judge with justice. He'll judge those who judge others. He'll judge those who have been judged. But for the meantime, St. James gives us a pretty good rule for getting along. It is the meekness of the Sacred Heart. With meekness, receive this holy Catholic faith, which is able to save your souls. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.